Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, if you write another book and it goes to number one, we're going to send you some Black Cock chocolates.
Did someone say Black Cock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about Goodyear.
Yeah.
And when the bunny calls,
you answer.
You don't run from the bunny.
This is The Naughty Show. Here's Sam, Gareth, and Vicky.
All right. It's the whole crew back in the saddle.
You don't run from the bunny.
You don't run from the bunny. They call you come running.
You don't run from the bunny.
We come running.
Running.
Yeah. Good to have Gareth back from his successful trip in New York. Very excited about that. Can't talk about it. Can't talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. We wish you were here last week, dude. Brian.
Yeah,
Red Band. And it was so funny. It was such a great episode. I was like, man, if we had Gareth there, it would have been like a mind-blowing episode.
Yeah. Well, listen. Instead, it's just really great.
It was great.
We had to settle for really great. It was a bummer.
Whatever.
It was great.
I plan on having a really good show today.
Well, we have both these episodes we're going to put out this week are going to be phenomenal. One more time, very excited to be in Playboy Radio, getting used to the new hours.
Can I just say that it's strange to be here at 3:01 in the P's?
It's different. Weird, right?
3:01 of the P's, very different from 9 of the P's.
Yeah. I'm doing better this week than I did last week.
I'm jet lagged from this.
Just get back into town?
No, I mean I'm jet lagged from this move in general. Nothing to do with travel.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I'll figure it out. I put it on my calendar so I never forget.
Never forget.
Yep. 9/11.
Just like the Armenian genocide. Never forget.
Well, I think some of them call that never admit, right?
Oh, hey.
No, that's anti-Turk.
We've been enjoying. I hope you guys have been enjoying. The World Cup. We're having a great time. Gareth, let me know something in between before the show started.
Here we go.
That Gareth's not rooting for his home country.
No.
He's rooting for
his home country.
England.
Yeah, my home country.
No. Who do you identify more with?
Americans.
Thank you.
But let me tell you something. When I was 10 years old and the fucking World Cup was on, nobody gave a flying fuck in America. So my family was all English.
But now
English
we fuck a lot about – we're giving lots of fuck.
Yeah, but I already got married. I'm still with the girl that brought me. They brought me to the cup dance.
You didn't hear that a lot the other day at the Italy-England game.
Yeah, you heard
game.
It three times, once for England, twice for Italy, in a 2-1 fucking game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had to suck.
Man, look, don't act like
US dude, if you lose another one, you're out.
Ghana.
It was great.
Yeah.
We crushed gonorrhea.
Finally the United States gets one up on Ghana.
Yeah. Yeah. We finally do.
Yeah. Ghana was like, wait, they've been cheating. They were using food.
And I love how our team is getting blacker, too. We're, like, finally convincing.
Well, what Jürgen Klinsmann did, which was smart, was he just found a bunch of dual citizens from other countries.
Yeah.
So you've got, like, all these Germans and, you know, you've got an Icelandic
what
guy.
What other countries do in basketball, which is take our NBA players and somehow find some way that they could become citizens.
Yeah.
That's what they do with us.
Yeah, that's happening.
I did Getting High with Doug.
You did Getting Doug with High.
Getting Doug with High.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was it? Was it great?
It was a lot of fun.
Did you get high as shit?
I got beyond baked.
What was that the highest you've been since when we went and did the shows in Toronto?
Yes. Mama? I would say.
Oh, but you were there, too.
This is higher than that.
Wait, that wasn't in Toronto where you did it, was it?
Yeah, this weekend I just did it, too.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
But he didn't do Doug's thing there.
Oh, okay.
They were two
Doug's
separate
here
things.
Got just annihilated.
What did you do? Bongs, balls, joints?
Everything.
That's my. That was my first question, too.
Oh, I forgot to bring a gift I had for Vicky.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot it.
Ooh, nice. Now I have something to look forward to.
If I remember.
Please remember.
So I'm getting high and like. I'm the only one who's not used to getting high constantly.
Yeah, so you go to
Doug Benson surprisingly gets higher than people would think.
Yeah.
Like, for a guy who's known for smoking weed, he can get, like, retarded high.
He always seems really high.
And I love the guy to death.
He's awesome.
Jason Ellis comes on. He gets high a lot, too, but he's just doing a radio show baked out of his skull.
Yeah.
So he's always talking.
Right.
So he racks me about my haircut.
What, really?
He goes, your haircut's stupid. It's a fad. Get rid of it. And I had nothing because I was just, my eyeballs were floating in space. I go, dude, I don't agree with you. 2 days later, when I finally, the high lift, I had my response.
Yeah, you were like, wait.
Because he has a tattoo of a wolf over his whole skull.
Yes.
I'm like, you're a dude with a doodle of a wolf on your head. Yeah, you're the last one who should tell people how to decorate their chrome.
But you said that in the car 2 days later.
Yeah, exactly.
You just like woke up, you're like, yeah, well, you have a wolf on your head. Where am I?
Yeah, so that was fun. I'll get into some other stuff, but Vicky, do we have a call coming in?
We do, actually, and you guys are going to love this because she was such a big hit with
her product.
Carnal Confections we're going to discuss online right now. We have Tina Santamoro.
Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Tina. Thank you for calling in. We've been trying to set this up for a couple weeks, and your love of theater, we couldn't do it last week.
Right. Yeah. I love the theater.
What'd you go see?
Oh, my God. What did I see last week?
Is it the one where everyone's got AIDS?
Yeah, you know, it was. It was the Woody Allen one, which I'm totally blanking on the name right now.
That's the one where everyone has AIDS.
Yeah, where Woody and everyone gets AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Everyone died at the end.
Yeah, everyone dies of AIDS. Yeah. It's just a weird.
My immune system, it's just not working like it should.
We love your chocolates. We love your chocolates. They were a huge hit on our episode with the Ding Dongers, Don Barris, Schizophrenic Surfer, Rucka Rucka Ali, and Mary Jane.
Well, and also Scary Perry Caramello will be eating one on the next Big Three podcast and promoting it.
That's the word on the street is.
Yeah.
We found
that is fantastic.
Yeah, you said you listened to it, you enjoyed it.
Let
me just tell you, I love your designs on your chocolates. You have this one sex position, which is my favorite position. In pornography, it's almost like you've listened to my show before and you knew my favorite, which is called the over-under, which is my favorite position. And somehow you were smart enough to make that into a chocolate. But I want to talk about your love of big black dicks and how that comes out in your chocolates.
Wow. Well, you know... I don't know.
There was like many black dicks. It wasn't just like
it might be a love of
dick.
Chocolate, Sam. Oh, you're
That's
forgetting
true.
That she's a cook. So
yeah, but she can make chocolates of a lot of stuff.
I just want it to taste really good, and the darker the chocolate, the better it tastes.
Yeah,
that's so true.
That's
like
what
a
Sam
weird
finds important.
Interracial gangbang box. when did you get started doing all this stuff?
Well, I used to make chocolate a lot when I was younger, but it was not pornographic, obviously. And then when my friends started getting married, I started making, like, I actually was always very racially aware with it. My friend married an Asian guy, and I made all of them yellow.
Oh, so, you know, how'd that go over?
It went over really well, yeah.
What were the different, because you can't make giant Asian dicks, what'd you make?
Oh my gosh.
I didn't want to make her feel bad, you know, or embarrass her in front of the rest of the bachelor, you know, party.
Okay,
so.
I gotcha. So, okay, that's cool. What were they? They're like, did you make rickshaws? I don't know what you make.
Huge balls.
Huge balls.
Do Asians have huge balls?
Well, compared to the penis, I've heard, yeah.
I've
read online.
Mold made for that.
You've read online?
Yeah.
That Asians have little wee-wees and giant nuts?
There'll be no more questions.
It might be an optical illusion.
Oh, that's true.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, how did you deal with that optical illusion when you were making your chocolates?
I didn't go into that much detail.
That was smart.
Oh, so you really weren't the chocolate smith that you are now with the details
right.
you did.
That was the beginning of my career. So, so I really just played around with the color at that point. Yeah.
So you did some Asians... Go on, sorry.
Yeah. No, go on.
So your website is carnalconfections.biz. And
yes.
Can people request, like, different, like, hey, can I get, like...
Can I get a big Asian penis? I know
can I get
you've
a,
never
like,
heard of those.
Eel coming out of my woo-woo?
You can pretty much request lots of different details. Yeah. And if I can do them, I will. And if I can't, I will suggest maybe alternatives. Because sometimes I don't have...
Okay, let's role play this.
...to do something. Okay.
Hey, Tina, love your chocolates. I would like a chocolate of a Filipino boy hooking up with an octopus. Can you make that? We have a big Filipino wedding coming up, and that's a sign.
Oh, great!
That's a sign of courage in the Filipino customs to hook up with an octopus. Can you do that?
I probably could.
Hey, Tina, my wife's about to give birth to our second, and I would love to get a chocolate that shows her crowning as my son's head is just popping out of her. Can you make that happen?
That one, I mean...
It's a really important day to me and the missus, so kind of need you here.
I'll have to think about that one.
Okay, it's all I think
about.
Do you
have any alternatives maybe you could suggest?
Yeah.
I'm just almost thinking about right now, like the flavoring that I could use, the colors that I could use for
a lot of jams.
All of the crap that's coming out of her when the baby's
yeah.
coming
yeah.
out.
What color would you suggest for placenta?
Yeah.
Lots of crushed raspberries would go into
yum.
That.
You truly
yeah.
are the master.
I can't wait to eat my kid and his fluids. What? Pretty excited to say it.
What is your masterpiece? What is your...
What's your Mona Lisa?
Yeah, what is your Mona Lisa? Because we really like the big black dick with the white hand going around it.
Gonna need that on a ringtone.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorites. I just wish it was bigger, and I'm trying to figure out how I can get a bigger mold of that.
Now, will the hand get bigger? Will the hand stay the same size, but the dick get bigger?
Great question.
I think that... we can keep the hand the same size. Well, it depends on how big the dick is.
Well,
we want the hand,
master, right?
We want the hand the same size.
You don't want it to look like a baby hand, because then
right.
I don't want
to
get
arrested. But
know,
we want it to look like
arrested.
Like this person fell into like radioactive waste and is now superhero huge cock. And like, you know, like a human hand is like, stop it. But it's like, that's ridiculous to even try the cock so big.
I like to see,
right.
Can you make a
right.
black cock that breathes fire?
I can make it look like it's breathing fire.
Oh, that'll do.
That.
Yeah,
we have a couple shows coming up. We might have to hire her. We should do something for the podcast festival.
Yes.
And maybe the award show.
Yeah.
Do you ever make your
for carnalconfections.biz?
Do you ever make it out to L.A.?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't have any trips planned right now, but. But, you know, if you need something, maybe I'll come out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We would love that. We need more of those. Dude, can we get her just an audio of just the schizophrenic surfer just talking about how much he loves that big black cock chocolate?
Oh, he can't even get the words out about how much he loves it because he's too busy chewing it.
He loved the cock so much he couldn't talk around it.
Which one? Which one was he?
He loved all the black cocks. See, every black cock in the room was going in his mouth.
they're the sweetest ones.
Yeah. He couldn't stop.
Find me a black cock that he didn't eat. That's an easier puzzle.
He's a chocolate-holic, literally.
Yeah.
And, well, the best thing about those is they're dark chocolate. It's super sweet. And then I have the nice white chocolate mint just bursting out of it,
yep.
which tastes fantastic.
What yep. is the turnaround? Like, if someone wants to hire you, how quickly can you get them something?
It kind of depends, but usually pretty quickly, like within a day or two,
wow,
depending on where they are.
Carnalconfections.biz within
a
day.
Can you do an
or so.
Interracial gangbang chocolate porn of chocolate?
You know, it's hard for me to have full people. But I can try.
I like that.
But I can definitely
make attitude.
I can make anything interracial for sure.
Well,
so
somebody needs to get you in the goddamn White House.
Well, Tina, thank you so much for calling in. Your website is carnalconfections.biz.
Yes.
I cannot give you a high enough recommendation.
Thanks.
You are the IP man of interracial chocolates, and I think you're the best, and I'm really very appreciative of everything you did for me on my CD.
no problem.
Through All Things Records on All Things Comedy. And, man, please stay in touch. And
I'm sure they're really proud of this part of me, which they don't. I don't know that anybody knows about besides you.
Who's on that channel? They're fine with it.
We are.
We're proud of
you.
Yeah.
I mean that right there.
I think it's great. I wouldn't have you on unless I thought it was the greatest product ever.
Great.
I thought you were awesome. Thank you for calling in. Let's do it again very soon. If you do a funny one pretty soon, will you tweet us and we'll tweet it and we'll let everybody know?
Absolutely.
All right,
yeah.
Tina. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
That's great. Tina Santamoro from carnalconfections.biz.
Big things.
Yeah. I mean, how do we think that interview went? Did she have fun or she not have fun?
She had fun.
She had fun for sure.
She had fun. I get paranoid.
Yeah. Well, listen, nothing like second-guessing yourself as soon as the phone's gone.
Yeah. I try to be honest and say, all right, I'm very excited about having our next guest. The two of us went back and forth, booking times, canceling on each other, and finally, the universe came together. And we finally have him. Please welcome to the show from the Adam Carolla Show. Very excited to have on Brian Bishop, everyone, a.k.a. Bald Brian.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Check. 54321. Are we on? Good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Sibilance.
Can we call you Bald Brian, or is that like calling you like Little Dick Tim?
Whatever you like. It's your show.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that is like calling him Little Dick Tim, but
so you want Brian Bishop. I want you to...
Or Little Dick Brian.
I would never call you that.
Let's land on Little Dick Brian.
Yeah, totally.
You want to go with that?
I mean,
no, I don't want to. I don't want to.
All right, let's go with Brian Bishop then. Listen, you started it.
Proud to announce, is this our first or our, I think you are our second New York Times best-selling author? He's got a book coming out, Shrinkage, Manhood, Marriage, and the Tumor That Tried to Kill Me.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for coming on the show. What's it like to be a New York Times bestseller?
It's completely surreal. It's overwhelming. I got the news a few weeks ago as I was walking into the studio to do a podcast, and it was I wrote this book and I didn't even let myself consider that it might make a bestseller list because I'm a first time author. I'm obviously not that famous. I like to think that I'm more famous than I am, but I'm certainly not all that famous. And the fact that, you know, first time authors don't often make the bestseller list, I just put it out of my mind because I don't want to be disappointed if it didn't happen.
Right.
And on top of that, it's not something I can control. So I was like, you know what? If it happens, great, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to worry about things that I can control, like writing a decent book or whatever. And then it just totally took me by surprise. And I'm incredibly grateful to everyone who bought the book. And everyone who didn't buy the book, fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
What's your problem, assholes?
Yeah, buy the book. The man survived. It's got to be a great feeling. Like, you know, I just put out an album, got up to number 2 on iTunes. I never in a million years would have ever thought that.
That's awesome.
It's so cool to see people show support and show you love and the feedback. And have you gotten a lot of great feedback?
Yeah, I literally have gotten emails every single day from people who've just finished the book and said, hey, my dad went through this 20 years ago, or you know, my mom's going through this now, or whatever it is. And they're like, now I kind of understand a little better what, you know, what was happening, or I have better perspective on it, or I just enjoyed the book. And it's incredibly gratifying.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you, if you write another book and it goes to number 1, we're going to send you some Black Cock chocolates.
Did someone say Black Cock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about Goodyear.
Yeah. We're going to say some Black Cock chocolates to celebrate your big victory.
I can't think of a better way to celebrate.
Yeah. I can't either.
That was the original title of the book.
You're probably going to not – you won't be able to work under that pressure now, knowing the pot of gold that it's at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, the expectations are on now.
Yeah.
Now we've
it's
set
in
the
your
bar.
Head. Yeah.
We set the chocolate
You know you're
going to
get Black Cock if you do great. Yeah.
So it's a little carrot for you.
Yeah.
A little carrot in front of you just to work harder. Wake up a little earlier. Write a little longer.
Okay.
Brian, come to bed. No!
Don't you know what's writing on this?
I'm gonna get Black
book?
Cock chocolate, babe!
In 2002, you started working with Adam Carolla as a caller on call screener on Love Lines.
Yeah.
So you've been working for 14 years. What was it like to screen calls on Love Lines?
It was nuts, man. I mean, everything you can imagine. I mean, a lot of time it was boring, but we would occasionally get crazy calls and a lot of teenagers, stoned kids just lying, trying to get on the air for God knows what reason to talk to Adam and Drew, I guess. But, you know, a lot of kids lying to get on the air, but then a lot of kids with unfortunately the same types of questions. I remember the first time I ever got a call from a cutter. They're like, oh, I cut myself. You know, a person who, you know, cuts themselves with a razor or a knife or whatever. and I'm this innocent.
We call that Gareth thing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm really into Gareth things, what they say. Yeah. And I'm like, please explain what you mean by that.
I didn't know that that's crazy to hear.
There's a cool thing named after you.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm this innocent 24-year-old kid who didn't know what cutting was, and I'm like, hold on one second. Put him on hold. I said to the producer, this guy cuts himself. This guy's cutting himself on purpose. He's like, yeah, it's a cutter. I get him all the time.
Oh, my God.
So I took it. It took me a while to ramp up to the speed of what everyone else was used
to. You hardened to it.
Yeah, I really grew
like
thick
skin. Like
each
person called probably first you wanted to save them.
Yeah, for sure.
And then go on.
That was much more forgiving or at least willing to put anything on the air in those first, you know,
few how months. Much jizz? It's not enough. Call back when you got a bunch of it, man.
Yeah, that's the cynical Brian. But yeah. Year four.
Year four, yeah.
Call me when it gets over 40 cc's.
Yeah, come on. This is love line, baby.
Was there any call that stood out more than others or any calls you can remember where you're like, okay, this is sick and twisted?
I got a call from someone once. I got a call from this guy once. He kind of had like a Buffalo Bill kind of, I have a question. And it's like, all right. And he goes, I want to know how to meet girls. I need to get better at meeting girls.
Gosh.
And the show works best when there's characters calling in. So even if the call isn't that dynamic, he was an interesting guy. So I was like, all right, well, what seems to be the problem? And he's like, well, I just got out of prison. Whoa. And I'm having trouble meeting girls. And I was like, okay, well, How old are you? He's like, I'm 21 years old. I'm like, how long were you in prison for? He's like, 3 years. I'm like, you went to prison for 3 years at age 18? Like,
Jesus.
What could you have possibly done?
Did he tell you?
And at that point, I'm kind of abandoning the whole meeting girls thing. And I'm like, well, what did you do to go to prison for 3 years? And he says, oh, I ripped the head off of a corpse.
What?
Wow.
And I was like, and you want to know how to meet girls? And so I was like, hold on. I made him tell me the story. And the story was that he was like a juvenile delinquent, miscreant, and he went into a mausoleum one night and broke into a mausoleum and took a corpse out of the sliding thing and took its head off and put it in his fish tank and tried to scare his little brother by saying, look, it's grandma. And the kid told the parents who turned him in and he went to jail for 3 years.
Oh, my God.
He went to jail. And after all this, he's like, so how do I meet girls?
Yeah,
never tell
one.
Them that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's tell a story, that story you should never tell. Just make something up.
Yeah. And so I put it on the screen, the little call screening screen for Adam and Drew, and I said, wants to know how to meet girls, and then parentheses, trust me, it's a good call. Because, that's not really much of a call in the love line world. It's like, oh, I want to meet girls. And I'm like, trust me, you're going to enjoy this. And it ended up being a great call.
Now, do you ever have some where it's like, oh, this is gold, and then they go on and it just shits the bed, and then they're like, why'd you send that call through? You ever get like...
Oh, sure. Yeah. But that's just the risk you take in trying to find interesting and wacky calls. Sometimes a seemingly boring call end up being great, like the guy who just wants to meet girls, but turns out he's in prison for 3 years for desecrating a corpse.
I mean, can we be honest? Like, 3 years for ripping a head off a dead person? Is that like... That's a lot of years.
That is
a
lot.
But if it was your loved one's head.
But 3 years?
In the fish tank for a prank.
Like, man. 3 years should be like, I murdered somebody. But longer,
I go 3 years
me
for that.
He may have had a spotty juvenile past.
Also,
it's his first run-in with
it's hard to get the jury on the side of him.
Yeah.
Wear your best suit.
Yeah, they're like, all right, now remember. My client did indeed cut the head off of Mrs. Jensen, but the point is,
who amongst us
hasn't removed the head and put it in a fish tank? That's a lot of hands. That is a lot of hands. I'm not gonna lie, that's more hands than I thought.
Yeah, but still.
Do you at all listen to the show anymore? I mean, like, sometimes when you're at a job and then you leave it, you want like nothing to do with it. I've been fired from restaurants when I worked restaurants forever. I never went back to the restaurant. Like, when you left Lovelines, have you ever gone back to listen to it?
I think initially I probably just avoided it because I was so burnt out after 3 or 4 years of doing it. And then it went through sort of a spotty hosting. There was some hit and miss hosting going on there for a couple of years, but the guy who does it now, Mike Catherwood,
he's
fantastic.
Great.
Drew's great. All the people who work there are great, and so they do a great show. And so every once in a while, I'm not often in the car at that time or listening to the radio, but when I am, I'll flip it on. It's good stuff.
Sometimes,
plus, they do a lot more format stuff now. They're like themed topics and segments.
Yeah, they got to mix it up.
Yeah,
it's been on a show for a long time.
Oh yeah, I think it's I think it was a local LA show back in the 80s, I'm going to say. Before Corolla was there.
I remember listening to one in upstate New York, and the big thing was that one of the girls from my school got onto the show and was talking about her boyfriend, who everyone knew who her boyfriend was. And that was the whole talk the next day.
What was he doing?
Oh, huge. What was the thing?
What was
probably
the topic?
Being an asshole.
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
About some, like, deficiency or deviation?
I just think, my generation was the first generation where parents got divorced. You know, and
that happened before yours?
Well, I think it did a little, but not like widespread. Like it was kind of started going like late 70s, 80s, where it's just like, it was like wildfire.
How old are you?
I'm 40.
Oh, wow. I was going to say like 75 or something like that.
I'm 90, and I love naked girls.
You used to get stoned to death when you'd even suggest a divorce.
That's my ringtone right there.
You could have a lot of ringtones on
but
this
it's like, yeah, so like a lot of kids were like kind of really effed up in the head at that time. Mm-hmm. And he was just a really hardened dude. I remember this guy, and he was just a very hardened dude. And she was dating him, and she was like the cutest girl in school. So it was a big deal that she was calling up airing her dirty laundry.
Yeah.
And sometimes people admit some weird shit on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you like it's, you know, you're probably calling from in your room. It's at night. The lights are probably off. Like, you feel like, oh, it's just me and this guy I'm talking to, not the millions of people literally listening.
So did you leave with Corolla, or did you leave on your own and then hook up back with Corolla later on to do?
I left when they got tired of me and told me to leave.
Okay.
And then a couple years later, maybe it was like a year and a half. I had a full time like corporate job at that time.
What were you doing?
I was writing. Do you guys know what Channel One News is? It's an in school news network for teens, or like a CNN for
awesome.
Teens.
Sounds awesome.
Okay. Kids liked it. You know, it was. Closed circuit in schools, you know, they subscribed and they, let's see, who started there? Anderson Cooper started there, Lisa Ling, Maria Menounos. Like, it was a real, like, you know, farm squad for like young news talent. Not me. They wouldn't let me anywhere near the cameras. I was a writer. And then after doing that for a few years, Corolla came calling one day, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm doing this TV show on Comedy Central. It's a talk show. And we need a segment producer for this segment. Would you want to do it? And it was great money, and it was a good opportunity.
Show?
No, it was Too Late with Adam Carolla.
Yeah, I remember that.
Short-lived. Oh, yeah. But I got the shot to be a producer, which is awesome because people work for years and years and years to get to that level.
Yeah.
I was given an incredible opportunity.
Golden ticket.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic. So I did that for a few months. Show went away. But that was right when Adam was taken over for Howard Stern, or was offered the job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked if there was any spots on the show. And he's like, well, we filled everything up, unfortunately, except for call screener. And I remember consciously saying, you know what, I'll do call screening. It's kind of a step back from segment producer to call screener, but you know what, it's an incredible opportunity. I'm a big Howard Stern fan, I'm a big Adam Carolla fan. This is a momentous moment in radio history. I'm gonna do it. I'll do it for a few months. I got some money saved up, and I'll do it while for as long as I can. And long story short, I did it for about 5 months when I was given the chance to be on the air as sort of a fill-in guy, and I did well enough that they gave me the full-time spot.
Oh, that's great. Now did he do any radio? Obviously, Love Lines, but in terms, he really didn't drive the show, did he? On Love Lines, he was more of like Gareth, where like he comments on like that's what.
I guess. Well,
no, he's perfect. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he called the perfect role. Is he the perfect role?
It was an interesting dynamic that Adam and Drew had, because Drew had the advantage of being a doctor who knew everything about medicine, or at least knew a little bit about everything, so he was the expert that everyone wanted to get the information from. Adam had the luxury of sitting back and making jokes.
Yeah.
But he did steer the ship. I mean, he brought us back from break. He, you know, said call 1-800-LOVE-191 or whatever it was. And so he sort of did an interesting kind of dual role that I don't think you see a lot of people doing. That said, when I think it was when Howard Stern, I want to say it was when Jackie left or sometime around there, Adam would do the show from L.A., like with an ISDN line. He'd wake up at 3 in the morning and do the show from L.A. And so he was essentially doing sort of a sidekick role on a morning show, which I think you have to ask him, but I want to say sort of rounded out his radio game, you know what I mean? Because now he's doing mornings, now he's sort of getting in that rhythm. Because Loveline was a very specific animal. That was a slow-paced discussion call-in show, and morning radio is morning radio. It's fast, it's popping, it's, you know, it's get the stuff out there, keep the callers calling.
The
and
reason
all that
I
stuff.
Ask that is because I feel like if he maybe I'm wrong, and correct me if I am. Like, if the opportunity now to replace Howard Stern came right now, with the amount of time that he's done, that you guys have done your podcasting show, would you think it would be a little easier to fill? Like, you have more of your pacing, you have, you know, you have your stride, you know how to work with each, on that?
I see what you're saying. I think it was definitely a learning curve
yeah.
for all of us.
Yes.
That first year, really. I mean, you know, just the – to Adam's immense credit, I think he wanted to do an interesting sort of unique morning show, a little more thoughtful, a little less, you know, what you expect from a lot of morning shows. And to his credit, I think he accomplished that. But there were a lot of programming executives that were – trying to get us to go down a very traditional morning show route, you know, take calls from girls about how big their boobs are and stuff like that. And Adam's like, well, that's all well and good. You know, he's the man show guy, but he wanted to, you know, do some comedy and some interesting kind of, you know, takes on things. So we ended up with a weird hybrid of both after a while, and it was kind of unique and it was kind of interesting, but I think he prefers the podcasting format now because, number one, he doesn't have a boss. He's
yeah. right.
He calls the shots. Number two, as a result, he makes all the money.
Yeah.
And number three, you just have more control over, you know, the stuff that they talk about and the stuff they do.
Have you been on the podcast since the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Now, initially, he started doing it out of his garage or whatever it was, out of his house, just him and a microphone. And then it evolved into him talking to a guest for about an hour. And then it evolved into he asked me and Teresa Strasser, the co-host from the radio yeah. show, to come back and be the sort of, you know, full-time, let's do a show. You know, let's not just
talk. No Danny Bonaducci?
Bonaducci was busy. We asked and begged and tried to
get
him.
Didn't work out?
No.
He was holding out. Too busy in Montana right now doing
what? I liked it. Danny's
Bonaducci.
A good dude.
I just remember when it happened. I felt like it was such like a shoehorn yeah. thing.
It really was. And if there's anyone to blame in that situation, it's not him. It's the people who yeah. literally shoehorned him into that show.
Yeah.
To our show.
That must have just been so fucking crazy, though.
He was doing the Danny thing, which is what he was asked to do. He was told, yeah. like, hey, we want you to come on board and do the Danny
because,
thing.
Because, like, you were saying,
yeah, he's like, can do, boss.
Like, you're developing the show, like, developing a rhythm, a voice, and then they're like, hey, here's a complete wild card. Yeah. So good luck with your show you're developing. You're like, yeah. well, fuck.
Yeah.
It's like it's a tea party, like, but we're just going to throw in a fucking honey badger
yeah, yeah.
and see how that fucking
just
goes.
Just let him loose yeah. in the studio.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's you know, I mean, I've always been a huge Carolla fan. I'm still a huge Carolla. I'm a fan of what you guys do. I feel like you guys changed the podcasting game. I feel like once you guys got into it, everyone's like, oh, what is this? And this guy just, it's like the first time I saw someone just go off the grid.
Yeah.
And just go, I'm purely internet at this point.
Yeah, that and, you know, Carolla, I don't know everything about podcasting, but I think he's one of the first, if not very few first guys to do it every day with a full show and guests. I mean, he's doing, like, you know, your de facto morning show. He's
yeah.
doing the morning
yeah.
show for anyone who cares to download it and make it their sort of morning commute listen.
Yeah, you guys kind of were the first of the big ones.
There may have been others, but I'm saying, you know, to do it every day, same time,
yeah.
same format, guests, sidekicks, all that stuff. It's a cool thing.
And you guys now are dealing with these podcasting trolls.
Patent trolls.
For listeners who may not know, what exactly is going on with that?
Sure. Well, as neutral as I can be, a patent troll is a derisive name given to someone who owns a patent on something. It could be on the way this microphone works, which is a legitimate patent, or it could be on something as silly as, I had an idea for how to display numbers on a digital
yeah.
clock. Like, that's my patent.
Yeah.
And their patent, and what they do is, patent trolling, the idea is you own a patent and you are going to go after everyone who uses that patent and shake them down for money and basically say, pay me a licensing fee or I'm going to sue you for however much money and it's going to cost you one way or another to keep using this thing. Now, if you're using this microphone, if you're Sony and you're making the microphone with technology someone else owns, you're going to have to pay up because
right.
you're using their technology. If you built that digital clock that we're all looking at and someone claims, oh no, I thought up to make those boxy letters and the three that way. I made the three that way. That's a bit of a specious argument. And the argument that this particular patent holder is making is they own the patent on, I believe it's like the ability to disseminate audible information in a subscription form, i.e.
yeah.
to make playlists.
Oh, it's so like
it's
broad,
really,
right?
It's really far-fetched.
Yeah.
And so they're suing Adam and a few other podcasters, and they've sued, I want to say, I don't know the details, but they've this is their bread and butter, is saying that we own the right to disseminate this information in a playlist form. And which is absurd, but it's going to cost a shitload of money to fight it in court. Because
that's the thing. They just want to settle, really.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So the playlist is the key, because other than that, you can just say it's radio, right?
And it's crazy, because it would be like someone suing you for using that clock, whereas you should really be suing the clock manufacturer or maybe the store that sold the clock. Like, we just – like, it's like, why wouldn't you just sue iTunes or someone like that?
Yeah.
That's really who's infringing on your
patents. Yeah, we're the people putting content on it.
There's literally millions of people doing this, so why are you suing us?
Yeah,
right.
Because you guys are the biggest name.
Hence –
so but if you were to settle with them, that would the whole house of cards would fall.
Yes,
that's why it's so important that he's fighting it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a line in the sand.
Now, did you guys run a Kickstarter account to what was the campaign behind it that you guys kind of started to get everyone railing behind you guys?
I think Carol is doing a fundanything.com campaign. I think it's fundanything/patent troll. But you can probably Google Adam Carolla,
right.
Fund Anything.
We'll Google that if you guys can help it out, because, I mean, like, that's just crazy.
I contributed to it. I when my book, right before my book came out, it was a few weeks before, and I had an advanced reading copy. I had a couple extra, and I was like, you know what, we're going to, you know, interest amongst our fans was high for the book. So I was like, you know what we'll do? We'll auction off a book on eBay. We'll all sign it. It'll be like, thanks for fighting the patent trolls. And all the money, I'll give 100% of the money to the patent troll fund, you know, whatever, the defense fund, thinking, I really hope it gets like $75, because if it gets anything less than what you could actually buy the book for, I feel like a real idiot.
Yeah.
And it got like $2,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
It completely blew me away.
That's awesome.
That was the first inkling I had that it might make the bestseller list. Like, shit, if someone's willing to pay $2,000 for this fucking book.
Now, do you want to talk about your book? Because last time we had somebody come on here and talk about this book, he didn't want to talk about it at all.
He got mad at us for asking about the book.
It's our good friend.
Was it my book?
No.
So why would you ask me about that?
It's our
sorry,
friend.
Wrong notes. My God.
Have you read this guy's book?
You ever heard of him? Or
Bobby,
you like
what
his
the
book
fuck
or what?
We talk about this for?
Who was that guy?
Jason Ellis.
Oh.
Do you know Jason Ellis from Sirius Radio? The Australian. He's got a really great radio show.
Okay.
On.
Yeah, I know the name. I know. Yeah, yeah.
He's really funny. He's like batshit crazy.
Okay.
We had a TV show on Spike TV, and we were reconnecting, and his PR person called me about coming on our show and promoting the book. So we bring him on, and we're like trying to talk about his book, and he's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, okay. That was the weirdest thing ever. You're on a promo tour and you don't want to talk about it.
What did he want to talk about?
We had brought some porn stars
Sam.
In. And
LA Speedweed was here, and I think he was all
different
wrapped up in the moment.
Shows were different. Like, if we could have packed this with porn stars smoking weed with you, but we didn't think that's what you would like, that you just want to talk about your book.
I mean, I wouldn't have been opposed.
Right.
Thanks that's a fair. Lot, jerk. Yeah. Let's talk about the book.
Let's talk about the fucking book.
I don't want to talk about the book either now.
Let's talk about the fucking book.
You didn't tell me that part.
Well, next time we have you on, we'll pack this full of...
What a monster.
Yeah.
What kind of porn... You don't watch porn, do you? You're a married guy. You don't even care anymore.
It's weird. I really... I don't... I don't know. Is that weird? That's weird.
I don't think it is weird. We had a guy on last week, Brian Redband from Death Squad, and... He's just like talking about getting laid all the time, and I'm like, I'm cool with it, but it really does not matter to me. I'm just at the age. He's like, you got low T. I'm like, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Could be the radiation. Could be the chemo.
Yeah, could be that goddamn that Japanese nuclear plant.
I don't think though you have low T if you don't want to go to a massage parlor and pay for a hand job.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
his
think,
qualifications.
No, that's not low testosterone.
Did I say that?
Right.
No, I didn't say that, did I?
No.
No,
you thought it constantly.
I want to make it clear.
Yeah,
I want to
make
it very clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you guys have read the book.
Yeah. Chapter 5. Let's talk about the Asian
tub,
hand
chapter
job.
5.
Yeah, it's just weird, man. Have you ever paid for a hand job before?
I've never paid for a hand job.
I once did. And it's a lot better than you think it would be. Because you think, like, I've been doing this forever. Nobody's better than
the
master.
I know what I'm doing.
I actually, no, I'll tell you what. You get hand jobs from time to time, and they're nothing to fucking squawk at. They're not that bad.
I don't know what that means. Is squawk at good or squawk at bad?
Squawking at is bad in this.
Okay, so there's nothing.
It's nothing to squawk at in a negative squawking way. But it's a hand job.
So do you
right.
like the hand job or don't like the
I'm
hand
saying
job.
That like a lot of guys would be like, I could do that myself. It's like, well, there's an element here that you can't do.
Can we talk about the book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
I would feel
that
extremely...
That felt like 30 minutes. Was I talking for 30 minutes?
Yeah, he just kept going.
I would feel extreme shame if I went to one of the places, massage parlors or whatever, and asked for the hand job, and then they were like, how dare you? This is a place where we give massage.
We don't do that.
I was like, wow.
You just bring a fake badge so you can go, I'm a cop. Good to know.
Good.
Take it easy, guys. Just doing my job. Glad you're not jerking off guys in here.
Here's tip top.
Yeah. Now, do you guys know anywhere that does jerk them off so I can go bust those perps? Is there anywhere around here to go do a sting?
Because that's cop speak, perps.
Yep, that's cop speak.
I mean, bust those perps.
Yep.
The book, we're here with Brian Bishop. He's New York Times best-selling author. It's Shrinkage, Manhood, Marriage, and the Tumor That Tried to Kill Me. Let's talk about the book, man. Like, how
finally,
you were diagnosed with brain cancer, brain tumor in 2009. Mm-hmm. You were given 6 months to live.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
man, what does that feel like?
This is crazy. It was so. Keep in mind that I'm engaged, 2 months out from a wedding at that point.
Oh my God.
My fiance is with me, and we'd been bounced around from doctor to doctor, you know, because I'm experiencing weird symptoms that, you know, could be multiple sclerosis, could be a stroke, that could, you know, just neurological things. You know, this is right at the time we're doing the morning show. So I'm getting a little tingling around my lips, you know what I mean? A little scalp numbness. I'm losing my balance at the gym right afterwards. I'd go after work to the gym and I'd lose my balance. And I'm always able to chalk it up to either waking up early, you know what I mean, or not getting enough sleep, or eating weird, or too much coffee, or whatever it is, because all these little things taken individually are no big deal, but then when they all become a thing.
So it was nothing like insanely painful at first. It was just symptoms you could almost explain away.
Yeah, totally. Wow. No classic, no headaches, no seizures, none of that stuff. Just like I said, the numbness, a little bit of on my tongue, the tingling, and just weird things, and went to a doctor who thought I had MS, and he, you know, ended up ruling that out, and eventually got sent to a specialist who, you know, was an oncologist, and he, you know, fast forwarding to the end of the story, you know, was explaining in very detailed terms what's going on, and I'm not understanding most of it, and he's showing me a lot of diagrams and stuff, and I'm like, cutting to the chase, I'm like, doc, you know, realistically, you know, what are we looking at? And he looks and he says, you know, typically in these cases, I say 6 months to a year. And, you know, my fiance is, you know, freaking out. And my first reaction was to say, holy shit. Because, you know, I know now what a cold sweat is. You know, I'm sweating, but I'm freezing. I'm just like, it's like, holy shit. And then I swear to God, my next reaction was, well, that's not going to be me. And that may have been naive. And I may have been foolish or just burying my head in the sand denial. But I was convinced that we were just going to fight it and figure something out. And luckily, you know, obviously, I'm still here, so we did. But it was very scary. It was very scary initially.
What did you figure out? What was the next?
We found a new doctor.
Yeah.
No, we really did.
Second opinion?
We did, and that's something I put in the book, is find – not only second opinions are important, obviously, but find a doctor you're comfortable with and you're confident in. Like, this guy was like – get your affairs in order. I mean, he actually said that. And it was like, I need a doctor who's like, not necessarily telling me you're going to be fine, but it's telling me
we can do
something about this. Yeah. And that's what I did. I ended up with a world-class doctor at a world-class facility. And luckily, you know, there's hospitals here in LA that are world-class for this kind of thing. And my doctor, when I first met him, I told him what the first guy had said. You know, he was like, I would take that with a big grain of salt. Like, there's things that we can do. There's things we can try.
Yeah, hope. And you have to have hope.
You have to, because you're fighting this thing from the inside. You know what I mean? Like, you have to believe that you at least have a chance.
It's so interesting, man. It's, you know, like my girlfriend's mother is in her 80s, and she was in Florida, which is a giant death machine, Florida. They just churn you out, and then at some point they decide that we got enough dead people, time to go.
Yep.
I mean, enough old people, time to go. And, like, she had to go in there, grab her mother, take her out of the hospital, bring her to another hospital, and got a different doctor who changed everything up, and now she's feeling better.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like when you pitch a TV show, right? How many times you got a great pitch, you just pitch it to the wrong person?
Yeah, for sure.
And you just catch it wrong. Same thing with a doctor. Yeah. You go to the wrong guy, he's like, I'll call it a day. And you gotta believe in yourself.
Yeah, and like I said, the doctor has to, at least inspire confidence. You have to believe that he or she can do it. And luckily, I ended up with a great, great doctor that I'm very happy with and obviously has done great things.
Now, did you make a bucket list? Did that even come into your mind?
It really didn't. That would have been not admitting defeat, but I definitely, you know, had not so much. I mean, that's just not the way I'm wired. I was more focused on. Plus, I got so, you know, I got really bad, like in terms of side effects and symptoms really fast that I wasn't able to do a lot of. Like, by the time my wedding rolled around 2 months later, I had just finished radiation. On my brain, which really fucked me up.
And I was sure, man.
I needed help getting down the aisle. I mean, like, you know, my brother got married a month after I did, and I could barely walk down the aisle. I was in his wedding, obviously. I could barely walk down the aisle.
Oh,
and
my
I was actually,
God.
I was using a walker full time for like 2 or 3 months. I couldn't get around my own apartment. Like, Christy, my wife, had to help me to the bathroom because I fell in the bathroom once and hit the toilet, man. That's not a forgiving surface in there.
Yeah.
You know, I was
not
in real danger to myself. And
gravity can be a real enemy.
Totally. And on top of that, I was actually in a wheelchair for a short period of time. I couldn't even, you know, limp myself around on a walker. It was pretty bad. But obviously I've made a pretty solid recovery to the point where I'm 90 to 95% of where I was, you know, at the very beginning. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And I realize how lucky I've been.
Just a different, complete view of life.
It's a little bit. You know what it is? I explain it this way to people. You know, there's books and things called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And that's an important thing, you know, for us all to don't worry about the little stuff, you know. But I will say, from my perspective, when you've spent a long time worrying about the big stuff, like, am I going to live to see my next birthday, or is my wife going to be a young widow, or, you know, things like that, big things, worrying about big things, it's kind of nice to worry about the little things again.
Like, yeah.
I remember when the first time, when I was starting to recover, the first time the mailman didn't take a letter that I left out for him, how pissed I was, and I was like, so nice to worry about these little things again.
Wow.
Like, it's
so
nice
to
have these little things.
There's comfort in that annoyance.
There is. There absolutely is. So don't sweat the small stuff. But at the same time, when you're sitting in traffic, appreciate that you can be bothered by traffic. There's not a big enough problem in your life that traffic is your biggest issue.
Yeah. It's called good problems, right?
It is.
You got good
problems. We're lucky to have them.
Now, you decide to us. You talk about this in the book. I'm assuming you talk about it in the book. You froze your sperm.
Mm-hmm.
What was that process
just
like?
Popped it in an ice cube tray and popped it in the freezer. And
which comedians
this Coke
do?
Tastes funny.
Do you know?
No.
Which, you know, that's
I'm
like comics
that.
On the road.
God.
Do that all the time. There were stories of the guy who just passed away. I forget what his last name is, but he used to beat off on the ice cubes and put them in the thing for the people the next time coming through.
Oh, no.
Tony Gwynn?
No, Tony Gwynn. Oh, come on, man.
Too soon.
No, it's fine, dude. You can't. So you go to the sperm bank.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a few days between when I got the diagnosis and when I started radiation and chemotherapy.
Right.
And radiation chemotherapy can obviously mess up your sperm pretty bad and can make some men sterile. And because I was 30 years old and engaged, they're like, you may want to think about doing this because if everything goes well, you may want to use this someday. And so we did. We froze some sperm. And
what was your spank list?
What'd you use?
Well,
they put. So I went to a very fancy sperm bank, a cryogenic facility in Beverly Hills, and they have a very small booth. Full of materials that you can use to inspire yourself to produce a sample. And it's everything from magazines to DVDs, it's magazines and DVDs.
Right. Yeah.
So magazines and DVDs, and there's a lube, and there's all sorts of stuff, and of course a little cup. And I pull it open. I pull open the porn drawer. Which I observed is a good name for a slutty girl's vagina, porn drawer. So I pull open the porn drawer, and there's magazines and there's DVDs. And I'm more of a DVD man myself when it comes to if I had to choose.
Yeah.
So, you know, flip through the magazine, toss it aside, and go straight for the DVDs. And there's a little TV with, a little DVD player built in on the wall. And open the first DVD clamshell case, empty.
Oh,
must be
someone stole.
Well, the figure must be inside the player.
Right.
Open up the next one, empty. Open up the next one. They stole porn.
Who's
Who steals porn?
Yeah.
Not only that, who steals porn from an expensive Beverly Hills cryogenic facility?
Like, unbelievable. Bullshit.
The only thing I could think, the only explanation I could, reasonable explanation I could come up with is these are businessmen who are traveling who cannot afford to look up porn on their own work computers and thus must have a DVD.
That would be hilarious if it was like people treating it like a jerk-off booth. Like, haven't you been here before? Like, no, just to yes. donate.
Yeah.
Where's the sample? All over the wall. Have a good life.
I can't believe that. People are stealing porn from the jerk.
So what did you use?
Luckily, there was one DVD still in the player.
And okay. What was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I think it was just general. It was just a general. It wasn't
well, at
like,
this
it wasn't
point,
a,
too, your
it wasn't a fetish.
Your head's kind of spinning a little bit, too.
Yeah, I just, so want, I just like, want out of there.
Turning, getting really turned on is not maybe what's going on. You're so like, I just got to fight a huge battle.
Do they let your wife go in the back with you?
They would, although I went alone.
Whatever it takes?
They would. There were couples there.
That'd be amazing.
I had an idea for a great practical joke while I was in there, and actually pulled it off, and it's in the book. I did what guys do with those movies, and I finished, and you know, pressed stop or pause or whatever it was. But then I realized this would be hilarious. When you press stop on a DVD, it essentially pauses it. You know, it stops it right there, and if you press play again, it'll just go from the point at which you stopped it. So I turned the volume on the TV all the way up and pressed stop. So the next guy who came in and just turned it on would be treated to just filthy sounds filling the entire office. These are thin doors.
You
should have
found
the doors.
The moment when the man's asshole, that one moment that the camera, you're like, why
just
would you
the
even shoot
that?
Yeah.
Shot.
I queued it up to its most vigorous moment. You know what I mean? So upon pressing play.
I'm going
to
come!
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
I love that you had the presence of mind to pull this off.
Yeah.
All things considered.
You did this while you had a cup of jizz in your hand.
That's
you're
right.
Like,
in my refractory
that
period.
Next guy. Yep.
Now, when you handed the cup to the lady, did you look for any approval? Like, whoa, big load, or... Good job. What did they say anything to you?
I remember winking at her, but I don't think I actually waved.
You do this?
Amazing.
You do the gun sign?
She's trained to say that to everyone. Oh, that's a huge load. Oh, my God. What a huge load.
Oh, my.
Was that episode of The Simpsons where, like, everyone's hitting on this one chick, and one guy walk up, hit on her, walk off, she'd say the same thing to everybody?
I remember.
His book is Shrinkage, Manhood, Marriage, and the Tumor That Tried to Kill Me. You also are a game show contestant.
Yeah.
Well, can we go through those real quick? We got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Beat the Geeks.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Comedy Central show from back in the day.
So you were champion.
I beat the Geeks. I beat the Music Geek, and I won the show. And that was actually taped the day after 9/11, and it aired like 6 months
they
later.
They still taped?
Here's how horrible TV people are. On 9/11, on the afternoon, I got a call from the producer of the game show, because I was supposed to be on the next day. They're like, wow, are you watching the news? Like, yeah, fucking crazy. She's like, yeah, basically. She's like, wow, that's – wow. Anyway, you know, as they say, the show must go on, so we'll see you tomorrow at 8.
What?
What?
Wow.
Oh,
was
my
that in front of an
God.
Audience, too?
Oh, yeah. Just fucking horrible people.
Now, how'd they laugh? Like, because I did the Comedy Store. For the first time in the history of Comedy Store, they closed down for 3 days after 9/11. But they opened up the weekend there. And those crowds were so good. They still are, like, the best crowds ever.
Yeah, they wanted so badly to laugh.
As long as you didn't talk about the attacks, they would laugh at anything.
Oh, I think the crowd... The audience for the game show was happy to have something else to think about.
And you also went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You were a two-part episode, mm-hmm. and you brought home 100 Gs.
I did.
Nice. I watched that on YouTube.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, yeah, that's on there, yeah. It was fun, man. It was crazy. I was out in New York and did the whole thing.
Two-parter, too.
Because, you know, they tape 5 episodes a day, a week's worth in one day, and I was the last one of the day, which was Friday, and they carried me over to Monday, so I came back the next day and taped my finale.
Boom! Yeah, winner, cool. Winner, chicken
fun,
dinner.
Man. It was really fun.
Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, anytime. We'd love to have you back anytime. Anything you got to push or you just want to hang out, and we'll
for
bring
sure.
some porn stars in, and maybe you'll judge 2014 Butthole of the Year competition. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I just judged the World Air Guitar Championship,
really?
So I'm in judging mode. That was a fucking shitload of fun. That was at the Viper Room, and it was so much fun.
Oh, I'm sure that was great. Oh, wow. His one more time, he's got a great book, Shrinkage, Manhood, Marriage, and the Tumor That Tried to Kill Me. You can hear him on the Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you so much for coming on again. I appreciate it, Brian.
My pleasure. Thanks, you guys.
What do we got? We got anything to talk about real quick? Before we
do.
End?
All Things Comedy has some stuff out. Of course, Believe in Yourself, available at allthingsrecords.com. The newest one out, too, Brian Scolaro, has Live at the Comedy Castle. Dan St. Germain's first album, Bad at the Good Times, is on a Special Thing Records. Ian Edwards, 100% Half-Assed, on Team Coco Records. And our good friend Bert Kreischer has a book as well, Life of the Party.
All right, guys.
New at ATC.
Some exciting stuff coming on the 4th of July weekend. I will be at the Syracuse Funny Bone. I'm coming home. I'm excited about that. I hope everyone can come out and check me out. And then July 29th, it's back. The World Karaoke Pole Dancing Championships at the Viper Room. One of the greatest shows you will ever see in your life.
Yay!
Yes, we are excited about that. And it's going to be a great show. I hope you guys can make it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you all for all the comments on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. We'll read them when you guys do them. Gareth, anything?
That's it, Sammy.
All right. Congratulations on Gareth for a successful
Brian,
New
where
York
can
trip.
They follow you on Twitter?
Oh, at Bald Brian. Brian with a Y. I'm hilarious.
Bald Brian. He's a survivor. Great show. Such an excellent episode. Thank you for coming in. Guys, we'll see you on the other side. This is Playboy Radio.
As Adam Carolla's radio sidekick, returning contestant Brian Bishop answers to the name Bald Brian. But here on Millionaire, Brian proved last time that bald head of his is filled with lots of information as he climbed his way to $16,000 without breaking a sweat. Nice to have you back, Brian.
Awesome to be back. Thank you.
Can you make a black cock that breathes fire?